Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what that signifies? It's time for a Bechtold breakdown. But first, I might add, Donnie, one of our salespeople texted me and said that one of your clients wants to sponsor a wedding cake for you.
About that?
This is unbelievable, Donnie. You could have a free wedding cake. You were going to go with the cookie table and still might, I'm sure.
Yeah, the cookie table's a definite.
It's in. Yeah, he's already in your lineup. But why not add a free wedding cake if you can? Because that was the reason for not having one, is the prohibitive cost, right?
Yeah, I'll have to have a conversation, I guess.
I mean, this is real big, isn't it?
Donnie, could the vows be sponsored? Could the groomsmen be sponsored? Could the apparel be sponsored?
Right, and even the honeymoon could be sponsored.
Oh well, that would be a nice one to be sponsored.
Honeymoon travel sponsored by.
Yeah, that would be a nice one to get covered.
All right, Limits, let's get to the breakdown.
All right, let's do it. The Bechtold breakdown for this Friday, May 9th, brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating. Thanks to our good friend Jake at Southside Plumbing and Heating. Kyle Brandt was on the NFL Network giving a take after George Pickens was traded that the Steelers will still find a way, Mike Tomlin, to have a winning record.
I'm always in on the Steelers. I will never abandon them. They don't do filler seasons. They don't do 6-11 seasons. They will find a way to 10-7 or 9-8. You know it, and I know it. I don't care who they get rid of. And yet, I still don't know what the hell the plan is. If the plan is for Rodgers, then you just severed a huge piece of talent with which to carry a 41-year-old quarterback who's going to need it. If the plan's not for Rodgers and it's some, holy crap, we're actually going with Mason Rudolph thing, which I know there are some Steelers fans who say, screw it, let's do it, then you need as much talent to carry him. So I don't know what the plan is with quarterbacks still, just like you do. And just when we think couldn't get weirder that the Steelers don't have a quarterback, they get rid of one of their best receivers.
See, I just don't agree with the notion that they are just automatically going to go 9-8, 10-7.
Really?
I just don't.
Well, what dissuades you from that? Except all of history would indicate they are.
Yeah, and guess what? History at some point changes. Sometimes there's a break-even point with things. And I think that this year, especially with either Rodgers on an injury concern or Rodgers doesn't even come here, I think they're a six-win team with Mason Rudolph.
You and I and everybody else knows, even with Mason Rudolph, Donnie,
I don't
they're
agree
going
9-8
and
eight,
and they're getting blown out of a first-round playoff game.
And you can say Duck Hodges and Mason, yeah, and they still had a winning record.
Thank you, Lynette.
I think it's going to be different this year if they
Donnie?
Don't have Rodgers.
I mean, I hope, I would hope they could have a season where it's only 6 or 7 wins, but I'm on Kyle Brandt's side there.
Yeah.
Like every single year, until Mike Tomlin is no longer their coach, as much as we joke about the 500 or better thing, by hook or by crook, they find their way.
And make no mistake either with this, and I love Kyle Brandt. He's probably my favorite football commentator.
Yeah, I think he's really good.
He rips the Steelers. It was his quote, pick a year. I think it was last year after they got blown out of a playoff game. The Steelers have shown they can hit singles. They hit singles every year. They're a pretty good hitter. Could you hit a double one of these years? Maybe a triple? Forget about homers. Could you hit a double one year? I thought that was very well said. Next.
Lewis Riddick on ESPN thinks that the Steelers trading George Pickens is a good thing?
Look, there comes a point in time, Kev, where, look, it's just not a tenable situation anymore. They just feel as though that the talent does not warrant them tolerating whatever issues that the player was causing. And they just say, hey, look, it doesn't really matter what it looks like on paper. To us, we feel as though this could potentially be, quote unquote, an addition by subtraction type of situation. And hey, they get to see guys on their football team like Calvin Austin. They get to see guys like Roman Wilson. Now
they see these guys every day.
All of his rookie season in 24 with that hamstring injury.
So, Donnie, my question to you, is this addition by subtraction with George Pickens? Is Lewis Riddick right?
I mean, the names he threw out there are really grasping at straws. They're going to look at guys like Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson, who played in one game last year, I'm pretty sure.
George Pickens in one of the biggest games of the year last year at home against Cincinnati melt down like he was the worst version of Ben Skoranek? He's not. I just don't think he's a guy you can win with, Donnie. I don't. I think a guy who quits in the middle of games and shows up late to a game and crap like that isn't going to change. And while he may wow us with his talent from time to time, I just don't think you're going to win with him. I think it is addition. I think it's the very definition of addition by subtraction.
Roman Wilson played 5 snaps last year, by the way. But to something else that Riddick said there, where he brought up like the talent doesn't match the headache, it did until they acquired DK Metcalf, because before then Pickens was allowed to run roughshod over them and do whatever the hell he wanted.
Right.
Because he knew players are smart enough to know, no matter what level of football it is, it could be peewee football or it could be the NFL,
right,
where if they know, hey, they don't have a real option behind me, I can be the biggest jackass in the world and they're still going to put me out there. He knew he could do that. So until they got Metcalf, that's when things changed. It didn't have like the talent part of it changing.
No, but the other thing that's happening here is I'm certainly not lauding the Steelers for this. And it's come out in the past few days, this narrative, oh man, the Steelers again, look at them. They know how to get the most out of receivers and then cut bait at just the right time. Man, that Mike Tomlin is something else. There was an analytics guy who put out a little chart who said, look at these Steelers. Look at what these guys do while they're here and then when they go away. Mike Tomlin gets the most out of them and then he gets rid of them. And I wanted to retweet him. I didn't feel like getting in a Twitter fire at the moment. I was going to retweet and quote it and say, please don't forget about the part where said receiver, and there have been multiple ones, implode while they're here under Tomlin and contribute to the ruination of seasons before they leave. Please stop giving him credit for correcting his own egregious mistakes. He thought he could outsmart the whole NFL by drafting Pickens, where in this Steeler culture, Pickens would thrive. Instead, in this culture, like so many others, he was emboldened and he was enabled, and they had to get rid of him because he was destroying the team or helping do so internally. This is not a case of credit for Mike Tomlin. This is a case of Mike Tomlin, again, losing control of a receiver and them having to get rid of him before it was time.
And along those same lines, why does it keep happening?
Right.
Like, why?
Because people are delusional.
Because the amount of receivers, this keeps happening.
Art might believe what these people believe. Man, Mike Tomlin, just amazing. He gets all this out of these guys, and then just at the right time, they still get something back for him. Wow. Okay, what about the part where George Pickens and Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson and Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant all helped to torpedo seasons and ruin seasons for the Steelers? Do we just not mention that? That just goes by the wayside? It's just about a graph of their production here compared to what they do afterward, and then more credit for Tomlin? What about the fact he lost control of every single one of them and they helped to ruin Steeler seasons? It's incredible the mass delusion that happens when people are analyzing this franchise, which hasn't come close to winning a playoff game since 2016.
We had to say it together.
There are occasional guys, too, that go elsewhere and still play well. Like, people never want to throw those names in. Maybe they weren't, like, the flashiest or they weren't the biggest of headaches.
Yeah.
But occasionally you get an Emmanuel Sanders who had several 1,000-yard seasons.
Mike Wallace had a great year in Miami.
Mike Wallace did just fine.
Kansas City.
Even Antonio Brown wanted to help the team win a Super Bowl.
Yes.
Because
Brady.
After asking out of the Raiders, though, with his cryotherapy chamber.
Right.
Next, Jeff Howell of The Athletic reports, teams reportedly laughed at the idea of adding George Pickens to their roster during the 2025 draft. Howell wrote that word leaked during the draft Pickens was available if anybody wanted him. Some teams pulled by The Athletic at the time laughed at the idea of inviting Pickens into their locker room for any price, let alone a second-day pick. There wasn't a lot of interest in talking with the Steelers about a trade. So it seemed like the market was very limited.
Well, there's a big surprise. A guy who shows up late to everything, including games. A guy who refuses to block. A guy who quits on routes. A guy who needs babysat on the sidelines. A guy who quits on the final play against the Browns and gets in a fight instead. A guy who fights his home fans and road fans. Wouldn't be wanted by other teams? I'm stunned on it.
Any accuracy to the report that Pickens was late on Christmas Day to the game against the Chiefs?
Man, that's a few days back. I really don't know I have the answer to that, to be quite honest with you. I got a lot going on in pregame. I can't answer that definitively.
Pregame.
The question there from Benzie was like a tombstone pile driver from The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Undertaker!
It really was. I mean, Benzie just came parachuting in from the ceiling.
The other thing to go along with that, and I know that, yeah, it could have hurt their leverage after the fact. They saw this coming. They didn't draft a receiver at all.
No.
Right.
Like, I would have still had that in my plans of, you know, yeah, this might hurt our leverage once we get out of the draft and maybe it only ends up being a fourth round pick or something.
Yeah.
I would have drafted a receiver.
I agree with you there, although they essentially still have a receiver they drafted in Roman Wilson. Just pretend they made the third round pick this year. What's the difference? Here's the other thing, Don.
I mean, they put him in the doghouse, though, big time.
They did. Well, I guess we'll see with him.
I'd like him
starting
to be good,
in camp. But here's the other thing. Of course, nobody in the league wanted George Pickens. We know that. All they got, if we all agree that George Pickens is a top five receiver in terms of pure talent, and I think we do, if not top two in the NFL, do we agree on that?
Oh, he's the talent, absolutely.
And he's had some production, so we have seen it on the field, and the best they could get for that in a receiver-hungry league where receivers have become, like, premium assets, the best they could do was a third-round pick, and now we're going to make the extension, the leap that the Dallas Cowboys know better than everybody? I ain't making that leap. The Cowboys don't know better than everybody, and I think he's going to implode there. As well.
The Cowboys were also seemingly the one team that would be dumb enough to overpay for this.
Right.
They gave the Panthers roughly the same compensation for Jonathan Mingo last year.
Is he related to Barcavius Mingo?
He might be. He's about as productive in the NFL, too. They also traded, a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance?
Yeah, Trey Lance.
Yeah.
He's out of football. Wow, where is he right now? Is he out of football?
So add up all those things, and I just don't think that George Pickens is suddenly going to be this amazing star in Dallas. I don't. Maybe he will for 1 year to get his contract, but even if he does, a relapse will be in store.
Next!
Meaning a relapse to his behavioral issues.
I'm sorry for cutting you off. Next.
I'm sorry for cutting you off, Limit.
On the podcast Foul Territory, which is run by Ken Rosenthal and a lot of former MLB players. Joe, we discussed this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Rosenthal chimed in on the situation with ownership, but it's what Eric Kratz, former
Bucko catcher,
had to say about Derek Shelton that really caught my eye.
The owner is ultimately the biggest problem. They were in classic fire the manager territory. They're 12-26. There seems to be a malaise about them. Is it his fault? As AJ said, it's absolutely not his fault. This problem that they have goes so much deeper. It goes to the general manager who has not done enough with limited resources, and it goes to the owner who continually provides limited resources.
Unlike some of the managers that just recently got fired in the last year, Derek Shelton should get another managerial job, and this time it'll be a job that's not like a tryout job. Because the Pirates essentially said, hey, we want you to make apple juice, but we're going to give you a bunch of lemons. Go at it. The way that you grade how Derek Shelton did, ask players who have improved under him how he is as a manager. That's his resume, not the record that Bob Nutting refused to try to improve for him.
What players have improved?
Where are you going to find those players, Kratzy? I mean, which players improved under him? I agree with most of what he said or they said. I mean, everybody on the planet does, that the problem begins with the owner and that the GM's terrible, even with limited resources. He's awful. But Shelty is going to find another managerial job. Is he out of his mind that anybody would look at the job he did here and say, yeah, man, look at the young guys that got better. Find one. Tell me about one guy that got better here. Donnie?
I don't even know if you could argue for one. Like,
do you think Derek Shelton will ever manage a major league team again?
On a permanent basis, no.
Neither do I.
Like maybe an interim somewhere.
Kratzy's lost his mind.
I don't get it.
People,
no.
Like, listen, I agree. The ultimate problem we know is at the top. And I also think that Ben Cherington is worse at his job than Shelton was at his.
Agreed.
But let's also not act as if Shelton was like this guy who was really good at his job and was just like.
No, he was horrible
at
his job.
He was just held down, physically held down by the owner and the GM to make sure he was not good at his job. Because then it makes me think of what could a big-time manager change have brought this team.
Right.
And you look at the Cincinnati Reds, who hired Terry Francona, who are 19-20. You know, they're right there around 500. They're 3.5 games out. The Pirates are 10. The entire division has run away, by the way. The Pirates aren't close to anybody in the Central.
No. The things that he could have controlled here, which was maybe some accountability now and again, there was none. Maybe a third base coach who didn't wave everybody in who came to third base during the whole year, Mike Rebelgo, carrying on the grand tradition of Goey Cora
and Rick Gofield.
And Rick Gofield. Maybe a batting order that made sense, even if everybody in it sucked. Maybe managing the bullpen when they actually had a chance to win instead of making some of the most nonsensical decisions I've ever seen during a 10-game losing streak. He was a really bad manager. I mean, we reached the point during August of last year where I was asking Shelty every week about his job security, Donnie. Shelty, I've asked you this in many different ways, but as we talk about the future, have you been given any assurance that you will be here next year?
Like I've told you before, I mean, you love to talk about this topic, Stark, every week. We'll talk about that at the end of the year, but my focus is the rest of the year and how we're going.
Well, I didn't talk about it last week because you can only talk about it so much. That was my final answer. I'm sorry, but when you lose, well, every game, that's going to be a topic. I had to ask him about it, and I tried to do it respectfully. And like I said yesterday, Donnie, I don't enjoy seeing people lose their jobs, but I'm not feeling sorry for the guy. He's a multimillionaire from his time here, and all he did was lose.
And
he'll find a job in baseball.
And think about what happened in 2023. The team started 20-8, and the guy gets a contract extension.
Right.
So, I mean, and this was something I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, you know, one of the Saturday morning Bucco talk shows, where I said if they have a similar start but in the other direction, then I think it's justified that the man is no longer the manager. And that's pretty much what we got. It wasn't direct like 8-20, but it was pretty close to that at 12-26. Like, if you're going to reward a guy so much for having one good month,
yeah,
then he should probably feel the pain if he has every other month be a bad one.
Now that I listened to that clip, Limits, from last year, I guess I'm not surprised that the Shelty show died a quick and untimely death this year.
Well,
are
considering
you?
That it's been a quick start to the season at 12-26 and Shelton's no longer here, maybe the writing was just on the wall.
Maybe he had an inkling it was going to go like this, and I was going to ask him about getting fired every week.
And he wouldn't like that, yeah.
No, he wouldn't have liked that. Donnie, you're a wonderful man. Thank you for coming in. I hope we do it. Well, we are going to do it again. It's become a tradition. Maybe next week you can run the quiz show. Me Against Limits. Would you be up for that?
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah, I mean, you're beating both of us so handily that it might be best if you don't play. That if you're the commissioner instead of a player.
He needs to be benched.
Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you, guys.
Good luck with the show today. Limits, we go from here to the kind of week we've had. Let's just play some highlights from the week, give people a chance to weigh in. I still think the stories in order of impact on our sports city go 3, Shelty gets fired, 2, Pickens gets traded, 1, you insult the Godfather. I still think that's the biggest story in Pittsburgh sports this week.
It's not even close, but you can continue your exaggeration of it.
412-928-9370. What was the biggest sports story of the week? It's basically a free-for-all. We used to have that, the 540 free-for-all, at the end of the Seibel and Starkey show, for anybody who remembers that.
Oh, Joe, there's Malzy.
Here's Malzy, yeah.
Malzy. Oh, he has a gift for you.
I don't think it's for me.
No, it's not. I remember the end of that show.
Remember Lightning Ozzy?
I remember.
Do you remember 540
that? Free for all was one of the first real memories that I have of the station listening to that.
You were four.
That's probably why you're so scarred. Remember the showdown?
Limits
it's a showdown.
Limits had his binky in back then. He was like 4 when that was happening.
Limits was in diapers.
Malzy, what's the occasion of your visit?
I just was standing here and saw the light on and figured I'd just barge in like I always do. Donnie, playing golf today?
Yes, 2:24 tee time
at
Moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you play the other day?
Poorly.
How you think you're going to play today?
Probably poorly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Many such cases with you, huh?
How did you play at Oakmont?
104. I didn't hit it. Like, that's like what, you know, you recognize the difference really quick here between like that place and virtually any other place on earth, especially when they're getting it ready for the U.S. Open.
Right.
So I didn't hit it bad. I hit 6 fairways, which for me, I mean, you've seen me play. I'm more of like a hit it far and then go chase it down. And you know, I'm not trying to be precise necessarily. And I had 2 or 3 more fairways that I barely missed. You know what I mean? And the greens are still diabolical. You're still 3 putting all the time unless you're like reading it perfectly.
I played it a month ago.
Then when the rough's up, forget it. I mean,
but Bob played well.
He played phenomenally. He said it was as precise a round of golf strategically as he's played. And I got poor Richie losing a ball in the rough because it's so deep. Dude, where'd it go? So just tough sledding.
Thank
out
you,
there,
Malzy. It's 105. Yes, we have goodbye. To go. Goodbye. Let's do that next. 412-928-9370. Just an outlet for your feelings at the end of an emotional week. What am I supposed to do here? You're yelling at me. The 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. I already did the Crowley trip. Thank you, Limits.
Thank you.